you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
I'm very pleased to introduce our newest potential team member, Tristan Verboven. I first discovered Tristan many years ago, not long after I started the Twilight Histories. He had his own show called the Story Engine Podcast. It was a podcast that shared gravity with the Twilight Histories, and our shows were often found together. I loved Tristan's show. His writing had depth and richness, and his soundscaping was luxurious. Listening to Tristan was like witnessing a wandering bard reincarnated from the hearth fires of some lost dark age. So when, a few months ago, I reached out to Tristan and asked if he was willing to create a story for the Twilight Histories, I was thrilled that he said yes. As you listen to this show, keep it at the back of your mind that we're not quite at the point in our Patreon milestones where we can bring Tristan on as a full team member. His is a voice for the future of this show. And you can make that future happen by joining our Patreon community. When we hit our next milestone, we'll be able to bring him home. And now, please enjoy Fortress Africa by Tristan Verboven.
The leaders of Europe are arriving in style. Air and Mainz, in the formerly contested region of Alsace-Lorraine. The world converges at the inauguration of the first president of Ashkenazi Rhineland, Kalman Kautz-Nelson. And with German Chancellor von Moltke, they are signing over the protectorate to its ancestral Jewish people. Among the delegates here to affirm this recognition of Europe's newest state are most notably Prime Minister Winston Churchill, Joseph Stalin of the Soviet Union, President Franco of Spain, President Giovanni Messi of Italy, as well as Prime Minister Mussert of the Netherlands and President Wallace of the United States, among others. In the spirit of peace and reconciliation, we can even see President Gaulle of French Algeria shaking hands with President Pétain of the Free French State. With the Great War behind them, European leaders appear to be working together towards a brighter future. President Kautz-Nelson addresses the delegates.
Europe's darkest days are behind us. And here, on this land, still red with our blood, the earth still filled with burning flesh, our bodies scarred, maimed, our souls pained with loss, but we heal. We put aside our differences. We lower our weapons. We open our arms. What was for centuries no man's land has become a land for everyone. A land for all of those who lost everything or have never had. With this nation, we heal.
The creation of this new nation comes with it an honor to all displaced Jews and others persecuted during the recent war to settle on land of their own. This gentler, more peaceful Germany that has emerged since the end of hostilities shows a promise for the future. But it still has its critics. Many are not content with the Armistice Agreement of 1943, claiming that despite the assassination of Adolf Hitler and the dissolving of the Nazi Party, that return to democratic governance is lagging. Lurking beneath this new national image are those who still harbor support for the old regime. And despite its members being purged by Moltke's new government, others still worry of the expansion of communism into the Middle East and the continuation of brutal colonial rule in North Africa in defiance of human rights treaties. But for now, we can rejoice in a new balance of power and peace on the continent.
Your orientation briefing is almost complete. After catching up on recent news, you prepare for landfall in 1965. Not in Europe, but the North African nation of Tunisia. You have learned from your orientation that it's called something different now. At the moment, it is officially called Karthagische Schutzgebiete by its German occupiers. You're curious to see this new German Africa and how the Germans, without the evil doctrine of fascism, manage an African colony alongside their former enemies. You have no contacts in Tunis and prefer to travel low profile as a Canadian tourist. You're dressed to blend in as much as possible, with a light leather jacket, pleated slacks, and even a mustache, ready to explore the city. Please, step onto the platform, and we'll get you on your way. Now, I should mention, the world may be at peace since the armistice of 1943, and the Nazis may have been disbanded. But these are still the same Germans. Europeans may have settled their differences for now, but the tinderbox that once ignited can always ignite again. You are in what clearly seems to be the European sector of the city. It's hard to tell that you're not in Europe. Most of the people around you look and dress just like Europeans, as well as the buildings, all with a distinct German style. The streets are paved and tidy, and the signs are in German and French. You wander through the streets, peering down the grand avenues, and you notice the names of the streets and squares. Erwin Rommel Platz, Genserica Boulevard, Bismarckstrasse, Helmut Karl Bernhoff Graf von Moltke Brücke. If it weren't for the oppressive heat from the midday sun, You would never know that you were in Africa. And as you walk out onto Leto Vorbeck Platz, you come across an imposing whitewashed church, its stark shadow pointing to the demolition site across the square, where the skeleton of a mosque sits in decay. There is a colorful mosaic, 4 stories tall, revealing a white, chisel-faced man and woman ascending in a historical timeline. At the top is a modern couple, the man clutching farm tools, the woman carrying a rosy-cheeked child. Behind them, a soldier in a uniform from the Great War, followed by mustachioed settlers driving oxen, and bringing up the rear, a train of Gothic warriors with winged helmets and embroidered cloaks landing on the beaches from ancient ships. As you gaze up at this spectacle, you are commanded to move out of the way as a motorcycle patrol creeps through the square. Their uniforms are different from the ones in the mural. They are distinctly German, but with an unmistakable African flavor. You hear the ringing of a streetcar, so you take it down the main boulevard, past more construction sites putting up acres of modern complexes and shopping streets. You sit for some time, watching the streets pass, observing the crowds getting on and off the car, and the busy streets full of European cars. The only sign of African life is the occasional street kid coming alongside selling trinkets, only to be chased away by police officers. At the end of the line, a stark German voice asks passengers to leave the vehicle. The tracks stop shy of a checkpoint where uniformed guards check IDs as people come and go. Ausweis bitte! You take out your passport. English! Vous parlez français? Asks the guard. English, please. Why are you leaving the European zone? I'm just visiting, you reply. I want to see how the Africans live. We cannot protect you there. He points to a family sitting at the back of a truck stopped behind you. The men are carrying rifles on their backs. You'll see. The settlers, they must carry weapons for safety. It's very dangerous. Make sure that you come back before it's dark. He hands back the passport with a stern look. And as you walk through the checkpoint, the guards watch you with suspicion. The other side of the gate is a different world. Much more like the world you expect to see. Oh, shit. The streets are narrow and busy, filled with locals and flowing dress of North Africa. You weave through the busy street life, vendors selling every kind of ware openly. And as you walk by some shops, the men lounging outside call out to you. Guten Morgen! Good morning, mon ami! You wave back politely, and once you've passed, they go back to their conversation, watching you over their shoulder until you're gone. And you notice after some time, following the winding streets, that you can no longer find your way back. And so, you wander deeper into the labyrinth, hoping to find a familiar landmark. The few signs available are in Arabic, and as you attempt to ask directions, you are ignored. Suddenly, a young, swarthy man in modern clothing approaches you from behind. Hello, my friend, he says warmly. You're wary, but he seems friendly. So you nod politely. Where do you go? He asks. I'm trying to find my way back. You are American. British. You avoid the question. I need help to find my way. I help you, he replies. Come, my friend. You follow him reluctantly back the way you came. The man walks quickly through the crowd and you try to keep up. As you turn down one of the side streets, you come across another young man. They shake hands casually and speak in a low voice and a Berber language. They both turn to you. My friend says you must come with him. He can take you to a hotel. It's okay, really. Come, we go. No problem. You try to leave, but before you can turn around, two men behind you take you by the arm and force you into a nearby car. The door slams shut, and you are in the back seat between two men. The man you have just met is sitting in the front with the driver. No problem, he says. I take you. The man on your right is grasping your shoulder. You can smell a kind of sweet jasmine cologne on his hand. Okay, mister. Okay, he reassures you. After several minutes of driving at breakneck speeds through the alleyways, the car stops in front of the garage door. You are manhandled into the building. You are then ushered through a courtyard into a room and given a chair to sit in. There are at least a dozen men in the surrounding area. Two of them on the balcony above are squatting with assault rifles between their legs. You look around the room. The walls are draped in red banners with Arabic writing on them. Above the door is a picture of marks and angles in a heroic profile. The wall to your right has pictures of more faces. You recognize a few of them. Che Guevara, Fidel Castro, Mao Zedong, and others that you are not familiar with. There is a long pause. But soon enough, a man wearing a woolen sweater approaches you from the shadows. He has no mustache, unlike his comrades, with a closely shaven head. He also speaks with a different accent. and he notices you looking at the pictures on the wall.
Those are comrades in the struggle. Some of them martyrs, many of them my brothers in arms. They died for our freedom. They're part of a great wave forming among the African people. We are not alone. Our comrades in Algeria, Libya, and all over Africa are part of the international revolution against fascism. You see a fiery glow in his eyes as he speaks. Then, in a calmer voice, he turns to you. I hope my friends are treating you well, he says. I really just want to get back to... Don't worry, mister. He laughs. We will take you where you need to go. He offers you a cigarette, and lights it carefully by cupping his hands around the match. Fatty, he calls out. Chai! After a moment, a kid carrying a swinging tray pours you a glass of tea and graciously hands it to you. Thank you, Fati, he says to the young man. And as he leaves with the tray, he nods to him. Very clever boy, he says. Maybe a great leader someday. When you don't offer a reply, he continues. Excuse me if you are confused, mister. He lights his own cigarette. It is not safe to walk around. Did the guards not warn you? They did, you reply. Maybe they told you that we are uncivilized and dangerous, and that you will be attacked by terrorists. You do not reply. But really, they are the invaders, no? And we are the Africans. I'm just a tourist, you reply. I just came here to visit the great city of Carthage. Well, the city of Carthage is now Fortress Africa. He shakes his head sadly. But Carthage is not Africa. It has never been Africa. First, it was Punic. Then it was Roman. Then it was Vandals. Then it was the Romans again. And then the Arabs. And then the Turks. And then the French. And now the Germans. He pauses. When is it Africa? When does it belong to the people of Africa? I really just want to get back to... I'm sorry, sir. He pats you on the shoulder. You are not one of them, of course. You only came here to see Africa. Well, now you see Africa. And when you go back to the Schutzgebiete, they will most certainly ask you questions. What kind of questions? Well, they're worried. Worried about revolution, of course. Worried about contact with the Soviet Union, communists, Antifada. Worried about anti-fascist people. They think maybe you've come here with information for us. Maybe you have a message from Istanbul, from Ali Aybar. He locks eyes with you after saying this name. Ali Aybar, you ask? Ali Aybar, he replies. I'm pretty sure I have no idea what you're talking about. He patiently finishes his cigarette, sips his tea, and places it on the floor with a little spoon jingling. Okay, my friend, he says finally with a sigh. Okay. My comrades will take you back, And I hope you enjoy your stay in Africa. The two men who've brought you in now take you to the car parked outside, and they bring you up to the gate back into the Schutzgebäude and drop you off. And without a word, they drive away.
The guard who spoke to you earlier sees you, stubs out his cigarette and waves you over. Did you enjoy your visit? You hand him your passport. It was very interesting, you reply. Oh, I have no doubt, mein Herr. He motions you to a nearby police van. The commandant would like to speak to you. I just want to get back to... It will not take long, mein Herr. He motions you again to the van. Bitte. You reluctantly get into the police van where you sit alone in the back. The guard keeps your passport and gets into the front. Your short drive ends in an underground parking lot where you are escorted into a holding cell. And for a few hours, you sit quietly in a concrete block, interrupted by the occasional garbled, echoing voice, long periods of typewriter sounds down the hall. Finally, the cell opens and new guards take you to the office of Commandant Heinrich Pletke. Behind the desk is a grand map flanked by French windows with a magnificent view of the coast. You are seated before him as he continues his writing in silence for several moments. And you have nothing to do but study the map of the Mediterranean before you. Most of Western Europe is marked in black as Germany, with the provinces of Belgium and Netherlands, Ashkenazi Rhineland, and the Free French State. And to the east, Prussia, Czechia, Österreich, and Ungarn. The vast area covering Italy, Greece, and the Balkans is marked in green as Roma. Everything east of there, including Turkey, Russia, and the Middle East, is an unmarked wash of red. Then, observing the southern reaches of the map, you notice that the African coast is also color-coded. Morocco is yellow for Spain. Algeria is blue for France. Tunisia is black for Germany. And Libya is green for Roma. Egypt is white for Great Britain. The commandant looks up from his work and notices you observing his map and gets up to look at it too. As he sits up, you notice that on his left breast of his khaki police uniform, he's wearing his service medals from the war. One black oval with crossed swords and a helmet. The other a gold medallion bearing an arch and swastika. And while the symbol is tiny, it is the only swastika you have seen since your arrival. As he stands up from the chair, you also notice his slight limp and three fingers missing from his left hand. He sees the look on your face. I earn these in Africa, he says with bittersweet pride. With the 21st Panzers under Rommel himself. I had just had my 19th birthday. He looks at you intensely. I thought I was going to die. I was ready, anyways. He turns back to the map. I had this map made, he announces, when we moved our offices into this building. It's quite interesting, you reply politely. A lot has changed since the maps we had at school. A lot of corrections have been made. It's a whole new world. Yeah. And at the same time, it is a very old world. He turns to look you up and down. A lot of people do not like the way things have become. They do not like this place for the German people to live. But they forget this place before belonged to the German people. Yeah? The Vandals. They were Germans. They come here looking for a place to live. Room to settle. They lived here for 100 years. But they made the same mistake everybody make when they come to Africa. They get lazy, comfortable. But not this time. The Berber people now, they use this land to graze sheep, goats. But we can make it green again. We will turn this place into the rich land it was before. He walks around to the front of the desk. You had a chance to see the old world today, I understand. Did you have a nice visit? It was very interesting, I've no doubt. He picks up your passport and flips through the pages. You are a tourist. But you have no entry stamp. No contact here, no record of your existence at all. And yet, for your first day, you have a meeting with a group of communist radicals in the occupied zone. So, naturally, we have questions. I have never met... He puts his hand up to stop you. There is no need for explanation, mein Herr. There is a man here who I think is better for to speak to you. He will ask the necessary questions, so you can be on your way. Just then, the door opens and a man enters with a trench coat over his arm and a fedora. He neatly hangs them up on the stand by the door and sits down on the edge of the desk. He gives you a firm handshake. John Stockwell, please don't get up. You're American? You answer. Can't you tell? No point trying to go incognito around here. These krauts will spot you a mile away. I see they were on to you the minute you got here. He crosses his arms and looks at you, smiling. Fritz here says you've been poking around with the commies. Says you had a run-in with them today. Anyway, that's why we're here to pick you up. Uncle Sam will want to know all about it. He pauses for a moment to stare you down. So, what'd you talk about? We sit in silence for a moment. Look, I don't have anything to do with this, you try to explain. I just want to get out of here. Who's your contact in Tunis? It's like I said. You working for the Cubans? Russians? Turks? Israelis? Start talking, buddy. Give us a name. I don't have any. If you don't have any, then you better give us a name. What did you talk about? You shrug nervously. This is going to be a really long road, buddy. You have any idea what you got yourself into? He looks over at the commandant. So bring him downstairs, Fritz. What do you think? We only spoke for a minute, you stammer. They picked me up and threw me in a car. I don't know where I was. I was talking to this guy, an African guy. I don't know. I don't think he's from here, though.
Well, now, that's more like it, son. Tell me more. What did you talk about? He told me about the people rising up against oppression, the African comrades. He asked me about a message, something about a guy in Istanbul. Stockwell and the Commandant exchange a glance. What guy in Istanbul? Are you sure he said Istanbul? I'm trying to remember his name. Ali something? Maybe Ali Abar, maybe? I don't know. Ibar, says Stockwell to the Commandant. Yeah, you say. Yeah, Ibar, that's it. Ali Ibar. Stockwell looks at the Commandant, and the Commandant looks back with concern on his face. Kid, says Stockwell, I know who you are, how you ended up in Africa, and how you got into this mess. But you need to get the hell out of Dodge. This place is about to go up like a house on fire. I don't understand, you say nervously. You need to get the hell out of town, on the horse you rode in on. We got reason to believe that the Black Sea Fleet's about to make a move. They want their little piece of Africa like everyone else. So it looks like they're going to activate their cell here in Tunis. And this place is going to be crawling with red-eyed commies before you can say Constantinople. So what am I supposed to do? Give him his papers, Fritz. We got to cut this kid loose. Guards enter the room and escort you to the main entrance. Within minutes, you find yourself on the streets of the Carthagische Schutzgemeinde. It's getting dark now, as night falls on Africa. You have a choice to make. Do you stay here in Tunis and watch as the world's superpowers fight it out? And if so, do you join the freedom fighters to liberate Africa? Stay in the relative safety of Fortress Africa? Or do you just see how it goes? Maybe enough time to get the next ship out of Tunis and find passage to this new Europe. Or do you just sign out and go back to your normal life?
What will you do? Will you stay and join the communist resistance? Will you assist the Western allies? Or will you catch a boat out of Carthage and explore some other part of this exotic world? Voting will be done in the members area. To vote, please go to twilighthistories.com and click on the page called Members. When you become a member, you will help us bring on fantastic podcasters like Tristan to the team. It's because of people supporting the show through our Patreon page that we got Josh Hutchins and Kevin Valbanese. And now we're looking to bring on Tristan Verboven. With your help, I know we can do it. When you sign up, you will get tons of shows only available to members. If you enjoy today's show, you might also enjoy Axis Earth, a show that places you in a flying time machine in a world where the Axis powers won World War II. You will soar over the great battles that never happened in our world, while stopping here and there to explore the more fascinating moments. Please visit the website at twilighthistories.com and click on the page called Members. I'm Jordan Harbour. Thanks for listening to the Twilight Histories. Until next time, take care.